Okay, today we're going to be covering an important topic, which is the Passover. And we're going to look through scriptures. I'll try to be as concise as possible. We're going to look at when Passover starts, the duration, what is the most important part of Passover, why is it the most important Passover, and we're going to see that Messiah did eat the Passover with his disciples. All this information will be strict from the scriptures. And when I say the scriptures, in this case, I mean the Bible portion of the scriptures. We know there are more than the Bible that are important, that are also inspired. But there's something unique about what we call the Bible, especially the New Testament text, that's very unique. The Gospels and the texts found in the Bible, as I've found, I've read many, you know, several other, or listened to several other New Covenant texts. Only the Gospels tell you exactly how to be saved, and the epistles, only these books found in the Bible that we have, literally tell you how to be saved. And I've known there was something unique, and I've recognized that Elohim is Elohim, and everything he does for an excellent purpose, that no matter how much mankind, the enemy has, and mankind have tampered with the scriptures, Elohim has preserved for us through various means these scriptures that we call the Bible. And the words that are critical for us to know for salvation are preserved in them. I've read Enoch, and Enoch is, you know me, I'm a proponent of Enoch. I won't believe it's scripture, of course. I'm convinced of it, not even just belief, but it does not really tell you how to be saved. None of the books that I've read so far tell you how to be saved. These things are found in the New Covenant scriptures. All the instruction in the Torah and the Tanakh does not tell you how to be saved. They were suitable for having a relationship with Elohim during those specific covenants, but none of them tell us how to be saved, how to inherit everlasting life. Only that type of information is found specifically in the New Covenant scriptures, through the Gospels and epistles. I don't say this because I've read that statement. I'm saying it because I have observed it myself. Everything that I teach are things that I teach through observation. I don't believe the words of man at all. I had a hard time believing the Bible, let alone believe the words of man. I believe the Bible because I cried out to Elohim to help me believe in him, because I couldn't even believe in him because I was hearing it from man. I have a problem with believing what man says because man tends to be dishonest. But Elohim, by his mercy, has granted me to believe in him. And I am so grateful for that. That's the greatest thing that has ever happened to me, is when he caused me to believe in him by what he showed me while I was praying and meditating on him. So that's why I'm saying the Bible, I can testify, is the source of salvation. All the other scriptures, they're great, they're wonderful, but they do not tell you how to be saved. They do not tell you how to inherit everlasting life. But they are supportive of those scriptures that are found in the New Covenant scriptures that tells you exactly how to be saved. You put them together to get a whole picture. But I dare say that even if you did not have the Tanakh or the Torah, you could be saved by learning what's in the New Covenant scriptures because of how Elohim saves people and judges. He doesn't judge by what you know, but what you do with what you know. And that's throughout the scriptures. So that's why I'm saying everything I'm going to be based this teaching on is strictly from the scriptures. And I think you're going to hear some things that you probably were not aware of today. So pay very close attention, as we're going to cover a lot of ground, but I'll try to be quick as possible. So let's move forward. When does Passover start? Quick answer, Passover starts at the evening or night of Aviv 14 and ends at dawn. By dawn, that's when Passover starts and ends. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, we read that account of the institution of Passover. And it says, "And the Eternal spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, of Mizraim, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers," a lamb for an house. Let's stop here a little bit. So they on the tenth day of the first month. So that's why it's critical that we know when the first month begins. It's critical that we observe this. Those of us that aren't sure, and I'm not 100% sure about everything, but everything I do through prayer and faith. But it's important that we huddle together in faith where we hear the most truth. That's the only advice I could say, as I've said last Sabbath. That'll help us not scatter. So they had to take this lamb according to their father's house. So they had to be with their own groups at this time. You're not scattered all over. A lamb for an house. Verse 4. "And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count of the lamb." So there must be no waste during the Passover. I've been at Passover services where people take stuff and just throw it away. Passover is not just a meal. It is a service unto Elohim, and it has to be treated very carefully. You don't take what you don't intend to eat. You take only the portion that you're to eat. You do your best not to throw anything out. Verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." So it could be a lamb, it could be sheep or goat. It could be one or the other, but it has to be a perfect specimen. That's why you will, when they were to select it on the 10th day of the first month. So they had to know exactly when the first month started and they had to select it on the 10th day of that month and keep it until the fourth day. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." Verse 6, "And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month." You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. "And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." So that's what they would do with it. They would, take the blood. "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roasted with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." So it's killed in the evening, but eaten at night. Okay. And so what's the Passover? Just the eating? No. From when you're, the whole process of preparing, killing that Passover, killing the lambs, all this is done when Passover starts, because Passover starts at evening. But the flesh is eaten at night, at Lila. "And they shall roast, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." Okay? "And you shall not eat it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire its head, with its legs, and with the pertinence thereof." So, when you eat this lamb, you don't put water on it. You don't put any water. It is to be roasted over fire with everything in it. I want us to understand that. That's the law. "Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire its head and its legs with the pertinence thereof." That's the whole thing. "And you shall let nothing of it remain until morning, and that which remaineth of it until morning ye shall burn with fire." So nothing of it is to be eaten. So there are principles involved. Even though we do not eat lamb during Passover, and we'll see why. In our Passover serve, there must be no waste. If you're going to take the unleavened bread, you must make sure you take that portion that you intend to consume. When you're taking the cup, you must take the portion of the cup that you will consume. Nothing must go to waste, as to the best of our ability. Verse 11, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the eternal's Passover. Whose Passover? The Jews? No, the Gentiles? No, it is the eternal's Passover. Why? For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the Elilim, the idols of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the eternal. But I don't want to say all the Elims as if it's just statues, all the authorities of Egypt, because those statues are nothing. Against all the powers of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the eternal, he says. And the blood shall be to you, verse 13, then the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the eternal throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So it's to be, this was given to them forever. Why? This was given to them so they can be saved, delivered through Egypt, as was prophesied to Abraham, as Elohim told Abraham some 400 years earlier. Says your children will be sojourners in a foreign land, and they would be enslaved there. But after 400 years, after the sins of the Amorites have reached their full, he would deliver the Israelites, take them out. And so this is being fulfilled through this Passover event. So how long does it last? It says, verse 15, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away the leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Let's get some more clarity. So this is not a celebration. This is not a celebration, dear brethren. This is an event. And I stress this a lot during the Passover, whenever I talk about this, because people confuse the Passover with the celebration of the Passover. It's just like there's the Sabbath day that when Elohim himself rested on the seventh day and created the Sabbath day by resting on it. That was not a celebration of the Sabbath. That was the creation of the Sabbath. We celebrate the Sabbath according to the rules and regulations given to us, that the Sabbath day is to be a day of rest. We stop from all regular work and we have a solemn assembly, okay, which I pray to Elohim all of us will be able to have, because during this, doing this over the lines by ourselves alone or is not really fulfilling the commandment. So we have to pray about this so we could. But going back to Passover, this is the creation, you could say, of Passover here for the Israelites. So this is not a celebration. This is the institution of the Passover itself. The celebration of Passover is different, is done differently than the event thing. This is where people go off. We try to keep the celebration like the event. It's not. Okay, so let's look a little bit more about the duration. We have more insight. So we know it's to be 7 days. And this is why Passover and the days of unleavened bread are interchanged, even though they're kind of distinct. They have distinct features. But they're called by one and the same names, either the days, the Feast of Unleavened Bread or Passover. Passover is used as a broad name. And that's very common practice, literary practice found in the scriptures. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 16. This is something I've noticed a lot of people are not aware of. So this is chapter 16, verses 1 through 13 of Deuteronomy. It says, observe Devarim. It says, observe the month of Aviv. So observe it means to watch out for it, keep it. It's not just something you let pass by. Like I said, we observe the month, the first day of the year, according to the scriptures, after the 364th day, which was 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday. So observe the month of Aviv and keep the Passover unto the Eternal thy Elohim. And in the month of Aviv, the Eternal thy Elohim brought you out of the land of Egypt. So this is 40 years later. These are the children of those that left Egypt. So none of those people that left Egypt, for the exception of Moses, Caleb, and Joshua, were alive. Only the children were there. So he says, "For in the month of Aviv, the Eternal thy Elohim brought thee out of Egypt by night." That's very important to know, because that all these things will help us to know when Passover is. You shall therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Eternal your Elohim of the flock and the herd in the place which the Eternal shall choose to place his name there. So again, there's a difference in the celebration. Where did they keep the Passover? Where was the Passover created? It was created for them in Egypt, established for them in Egypt. But now, 40 years later, the rules change. You can't keep this anywhere you want. This lamb cannot be killed anywhere. This lamb could only be killed. This lamb or goat can only be killed in the place where Elohim shall choose to place his name, place his authority. That's what that means. The place where he rules. And we know that, of course, was Jerusalem. Out of Jerusalem shall the law go out. Out of Judah the lawgiver comes. So all these things tells us of Judah. That's the place where he placed his name, the place where he shall choose. So no lamb can be killed any other place, because the law doesn't change. There are parts of the law that can cease to be observed if the conditions are not there, because the law must be kept what? Lawfully. If the law has certain requirements and we don't have the means, we can't do it. We don't just shrug our shoulders and say, "Oh, well, I'll do it anyway." No, we have to do exactly as Elohim says. So you don't kill a lamb for Passover in any other land except Judah. We have to be very careful about these things. So it says, verse 3, "Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days," listen to this very carefully, "7 days shall you eat unleavened bread with it, even the bread of affliction. For you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days, neither shall there any thing of the flesh which thou sacrificed the first day at evening remain all night until the morning." Okay, so what's different about this? Well, we are already said here, we're told this, the Passover lamb can be killed only in one place. That's the place where he placed his name. And we know throughout the scriptures, that's Judah. So what you notice here is, how many lambs represent the Passover? Is it just the lamb of the 14th day? I used to think it was, but that's not what the Torah says. Okay, but I don't know if anyone has said that to you, but I'm just going to want to share that to you. Verse 3 makes it very clear. "You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread with it." 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread with it. With it what? With the Passover sacrifice. Why? Because there was a lamb being killed throughout the 7 days. Each of those lambs represents the Passover. So it's not just one lamb that's being offered. Yes, on the 14th day, there's a lamb without blemish, but for all the days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. Hope you understand that. Numbers talks about that as well, that you shall offer such a lamb 7 days. So we have to understand that. Last year, a sister putting a post, "I had a horrible Passover." How does that happen? When people, they get confused, they're mixing the Passover event with the Passover celebration. They kill a lamb, and some of them are putting blood on their post. They don't understand. This was for the Passover event, okay? Yet that you will not see that commandment going into the new covenant at all. And what else is it? That's very important to say, chapter 12. It is a sacrifice. We don't offer sacrifices in the new covenant. We don't kill any animal. What does it say here? Verse 2, "Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover." The Passover is a sacrificial offering. It's not just a meal. It's not something we do casually. Okay, so It's a sacrifice. It's to be done only in Jerusalem. Let's move on. So we covered the duration. It's for 7 days. And we'll make another note on the celebration for a minute. In Passover, people recline. It's not done in haste. In the real event, it was done in haste because it was not a celebration. It was a frightening, fearful event where there was outcrying throughout all the land of Egypt, okay? Where some Egyptians were probably friends of the Israelites and they suffered. And so it wasn't a happy time. But the celebration of Passover, though it is solemn, it's a relaxed situation. We're not in a rush because it's a celebration. It's a calm event where we're calm. Our minds are at rest and we're focusing on Elohim. In the event, the Israelites were frightened. In the celebration, we are secure. The only other time Passover was a frightening time again was when Messiah ate it with his disciples. And we're going to see that he ate the Passover according to the scriptures, according to the Bible, which is what Elohim has given us all throughout the world for over 1,000 years for salvation. And it's doing a good job. So he knows what he is doing. So according to the Bible, Messiah ate the Passover, and we're going to see that. We're going to go over those verses. So yes, it was a frightful time. So the second time that was frightful was when Messiah ate the Passover with his disciples, according to the Bible, because that wasn't a celebration. That was the true event. That was the true sacrifice of all. That was the time for the true sacrifice of all sacrifices. That was the beginning of all sacrifices. Let me haste to say, Messiah did not fulfill the Passover. Messiah did not fulfill any sacrifice. Rather, the sacrifices pointed to what Messiah was doing. What am I saying? I'm saying Messiah is not trying to fit into any sacrifice. Messiah is that true sacrifice. All the celebrations, all these events with sacrifices, whether this here in Exodus 12, 13, and all others, are pointing to Messiah. So one thing we should not try to do is fit him into any particular feast. It doesn't work because Messiah's sacrifice is represented by Passover, by all the other sacrifices. So it's error to try to get him to fit in a particular time. The Bible tells us exactly when Messiah died. It tells us when he rose, and we will see it doesn't fit into these little comfortable boxes that people are trying to fit him in because we have preconceived ideas, and then we try to get Messiah to fit those ideas. No, we have to conform our minds to what the scripture says. Okay, let's move on from here. So the most important item in Passover, traditionally, it's the lamb. And I say traditionally because it's not the lamb that's the most important part of Passover. It's not. The most important part of Passover, according to the Torah and according to Messiah, is the bread, is the unleavened bread. That's the most important part of Passover. Have you heard that before? I have to tell you the truth. Let's look at the scriptures and see what is the most important part of Passover. We've read up to verse 15. Did anything in chapter 12 say that the lamb was the most important part? It didn't. Those are traditional conclusions, not what the Bible emphasizes. All of us remember being taught when they ask, what is the main idea of a sentence or of a paragraph or of a chapter? We find what the emphasis is. Then we know what the main idea is. It's that simple. What is the emphasis? Is it the lamb or is it the unleavened bread? I tell you quickly, it is the unleavened bread. When we read the account, we read about the lamb. Then we read verse 15, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. In the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation. No matter of work shall be done in them, save that which man must eat. That only may be done. What? Where's the Sabbath? Where's the rest? Where's the men? It's with the unleavened bread. Let's keep going. And you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the week of creation, days 1 through 6 were the preparation for the seventh, for the rest, for the celebration. Passover was the work that was done for the celebration, for the deliverance. I hope you understand what I'm saying. What is the holiest of the days? The seventh day in which nothing was done. All the days were in themselves holy, but the seventh day is the most holy of them. Likewise, the Passover is holy, but the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the most holy. Is the important part. The first day shall be an holy convocation, and the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation. No manner of work shall be done in them. Verse 17, and ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. So, summary here in verse 18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month. So the whole feast, you see, that's why it's called Passover. And that's why it's called unleavened bread, because it starts when you eat it with the lamb on the 14th, and it ends on the 21st day of Aviv. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be stranger or born in the land. Okay? Unleavened bread must be eaten by everybody. There's no restriction. Doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. You have to eat the unleavened bread. However, the Passover lamb, only those who are circumcised can eat it. A Gentile could only eat was not compelled to eat the Passover. They were not compelled to eat it. However, if they wanted to eat it, they had to become circumcised. But if you're dwelling in the land of Israel, you did not have to be circumcised. You could dwell as a Gentile. Those are righteous Gentiles in the midst of Israel. They can choose to be circumcised or not. But if they're not circumcised, they had restrictions. And one of those restrictions that they could not eat the Passover. But however, the unleavened bread must be eaten by all. Regardless. Verse 19 again. Whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations ye shall eat unleavened bread. Not just going to Jerusalem. Remember, only the males were really commanded to go. And I'm sure I would trust the females went too. But the males. So no matter where you were, you had to eat unleavened bread. You don't just eat unleavened bread in Jerusalem. You eat unleavened bread throughout the entire land, in all your habitations. Okay? So we know what happened here. Let's move on. So the most important part is the unleavened bread. Let's look at why. Some more reasons. The people think of sacrifices by tradition. They think of zabayim, or bloody, or animal sacrifices. And they emphasize, they're deceived to emphasize the bloody sacrifice and not the unleavened bread. But that's a good thing, for these things are kept for the people of Elohim to know, not just anybody. That's why people think of that. They think of the animal sacrifice, but that's not what Elohim says. Let's see when it comes to sacrifice, what's most important to him, okay? Let's look at Leviticus chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. I'm going to show you that where the scripture says the unleavened bread is the most holy of all the sacrifices. I learned that a few weeks ago, believe it or not. This one. So the unleavened bread is the most holy of all sacrifices. Leviticus chapter 2 verses 1 to 3 says, and when they will offer a grain offering unto the Eternal. The King James might say a meat offering, but if you look at your notes in the King James, it says meal or grain offering. So when you will offer a grain offering unto the Eternal, his offering shall be of fine flour. See, by context, you can see that. It shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. He shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereof his handful of the flour, thereof, and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Eternal. And the remnant of the offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. Listen to this. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Eternal by fire. So when I saw that, I first focused on most holy. I said, wow, the meal, the grain offering is the most holy of all the sacrifices. But then I kept reading. And when I kept reading, I also noticed that there were other offerings that were also called most holy. Now I said, oh, I was wrong, but I was not wrong. What I failed to notice is that all of them were called most holy. But the distinction with the unleavened bread is that it is the most holy of all sacrifices. That's the distinction. And you will see that said only with the unleavened bread. You will see that the other sacrifices will say it is very holy or it is most holy. But when it refers to the unleavened bread, it will say it is the most holy of all sacrifices. So verse 3 says it is a thing most holy. Doesn't just stop there. It is most holy of the offerings of the Eternal made by fire. Also verse 5. Verse 5 says, and if thy oblation be a grain or a meal offering, bacon in a pan, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mingled with oil. It shall be unleavened. So it cannot have leaven in it. Verse 8. And it says, thou shalt part it in pieces and pour oil thereon. It is a meal or grain offering. And if thy oblation be offering bacon in the frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And thou shalt bring the meal offering that is made of these things unto the Eternal. And when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar. Oh, and verse 10. And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Eternal made by fire. Most holy. And every oblation, verse 13, and every oblation of your meal or grain offering that shall be seasoned with salt. Neither shall thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy Elohim to be lacking from thy grain offering. With all thine offerings, thou shalt offer salt with it. So the unleavened bread, like some unleavened bread, matzah you buy, it has to have salt in it. So make sure the matzah you have includes salt. Let's see, what else? Okay, so it is the most important part. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12 for a second.